How do you spell yubbit?
Yubbit. Okay, number 14, outreach options.
Want me to...
We had a supplemental page that came out on this.
Oh, yes, we did.
14, outreach.
14.
The outreach, and I actually liked the supplemental report and its recommendation.
Well, what happened was what was the genesis of this? I guess I wrote the staff report solo. Trying to remember what happened. But mainly because it was because of a time crunch. And then I asked, we kind of did it backwards. And we had to publish, you know, get our agenda out. But in the meantime, then I asked our section managers, and to the extent they wanted to engage anybody else, to take a look at it and to join us here for this conversation. And so in doing that, that kind of generated the supplemental sheet that you have, which basically comes up with a different recommendation. But I should have started at the beginning and pointed out that you, Mr. Chairman, asked me to put this item on the agenda.
I did.
So that you could talk with your fellow board members about different ways of the board actually getting more involved with outreach. Of course, the staff does. We do a lot of outreach. Both the chair and vice chair kind of joined in on one of those efforts up in Salinas a couple weeks ago. And just last Friday, Matt Thompson and I were over briefing Assemblyman Blakesley. We had a session, Monday afternoon with four municipalities from the Santa Cruz County area. It's going on constantly as far as our interaction with the people in the region. But what you wanted to talk about was different ways that board members might, if they have time and have the inclination, might be effective in joining in some of that outreach. So we threw some ideas together, and as I said, with the supplemental sheet, we ended up modifying the recommendation a bit with the basic idea that workshops are pretty general. They're time-consuming. They're subject to whoever wants to attend the workshops. They're not as specific as talking to individuals, where that can be more strategic as far as the individuals that you make appointments with to talk to. When you talk to individuals, it can be much more when it's one-on-one, it can be much more personal, free-flowing. Mm-hmm. Even though the session we had with Salinas, for example, we tried to take the least formal route possible, which was a so-called study session, but it was still subject to the Brown Act, as any council or board of supervisors would be subject if you get a quorum together. And so consequently, it wasn't a whole lot different than a regular council meeting in terms of formality. It was the same setting. Mm-hmm. They still started with a staff report. We sat at the staff table, like right there, said our piece. We did eventually kind of get into more of a conversation, but it definitely wasn't as informal as it could be with a smaller group that wouldn't be subject to the Brown Act, mm-hmm. or with a workshop where it's more a shotgun approach. Mm-hmm. So that's really why we ended up changing the recommendation, and we provided a little blurb on the concept of community-based social marketing, which, as I pointed out in here, is something that we're routinely including in our stormwater management plan conditions of approval as something that we ask them to consider for their approach to the public in their municipality. So, I don't know if any of you there sitting in the third row have anything you want to add to that at this time, but okay. I guess one other thing that I pointed out is that there is a huge time commitment that just that one session with the city of Salinas wasn't so bad for Russ.
No, thank goodness for one time.
But for Jeff especially,
that was tough.
You had, 8 hours of driving or something?
Yeah.
Hey, we did the boss.
Plus, plus however long that session was, 4 hours. It was like 12 hours just for Jeff.
But how do you think that that session went? Do you think that we gained some benefit from that type of
session? I think we gained a tremendous amount of benefit, not only the approach that we use, but just the idea that we took the time to come and try to explain directly to them instead of them receiving it through their staff. And as far as I'm concerned, outreach can be handled many different ways. It all depends on who you want to reach to.
Right.
Now, if there's an issue just with staff, then I would say staff on staff. But if you have elected officials, they want to talk to the people and make decisions. So I would suggest if you have an issue that you need to outreach to a staff person, then or a staff, a group of staff, then use the staff. But if you want to talk to legislature people, then city councils, board of supervisors, and as I did when I was chair, that we went around to the state assemblymen as the state senators that were in our region at that particular time to give them an overview of what we were doing and why we were doing it. And I think that's extremely important. We keep those people in tuned instead of them hearing from constituents that is complete opposite what we're trying to do. It makes a lot easier for us, and I think it makes a lot easier for them. The response back that I heard from some of the people in the community of the city of Salinas, they were really impressed that we took the time to come to Salinas, not as a board, but as the chair and the vice chair and the executive officer and Matt, and I think Matt did an excellent job on his presentation, as well as Roger did. But the general community was really impressed that we took the time to do that because there was a lot of misconception from the city of Salinas and from their staff to the council members, and I think it opened up a lot of dialogue from the elected officials, because I think if you, as we started the dialogue with the council members and when we finished up the dialogue with the council members, there was a whole lot of difference in the attitude from them. And also hearing from the public, some of the public members that were sitting in the audience have talked to me or indirectly have talked to me that they were really impressed with the presentation and felt that they weren't getting the full story from the city staff. And they were impressed that we took the time to explain exactly what we're trying to do. And there is alternatives for them, which they are not given from the city staff. So I think there's some real pro things of doing this, and I think we need to do it when it's necessary. I don't know if we need to do it as an ongoing thing, but when there's issues that seem to be coming up, then those are the times that we need to act.
Well, on that point, it gets a little tricky because, for example, we have a lot of the stormwater management plan approvals coming up for the municipalities. And in the case of Salinas, the board had already acted on that. So it was okay as far as talking about it in that session, which would otherwise have been, I guess it would have been an ex parte kind of a communication. So we're not really at liberty to have board members go to a city for those items, like you just referred to items that are coming up.
Well, you're absolutely right.
So what we're talking about here was more along the lines of what the regional board is all about, what our vision is, what our goals are, how whoever we're talking with plays a part, you know, where those goals can align, and to try to get more on the same page and collaborate on our efforts, but not for those items that are impending before the board. And that's kind of tough because if you go to a supervisor, it's most likely that they're going to be most concerned about the item that's coming up. So it's a little tricky.
It's a little tricky, no question about it.
Well, if I could add,
yes.
I've been interested in thinking about opportunities and ways for a regional board, in terms of the role and function, to be more clearly communicated broadly in the region for this very reason, that we have this broader set of goals and ideas that are being developed so creatively by staff, and frequently the only link to the community is the brunt of a regulatory action. And so I think the opportunity to focus on this broader message, healthy functioning watersheds and LID and some of the other initiatives that have been launched, where the board not only has supported staff in the ideas, the very creative ideas that are coming out of these several year processes since I've been involved, but also helping to fund those efforts. So, it's a strong signal that we're working closely with staff on these kind of leading edges where we can have a chance to change practice, reconsider traditional behaviors, and actually affect the kinds of problems that we're addressing later on down the line. These changes take time. So, the investment of time and money, to me, has a payoff that ultimately we're going to see, non-point source issues take a different shape and hopefully reducing the magnitude of the problem by the time we see it. So I really want to applaud this initial step, and I would like to be available for this effort when it becomes appropriate for me.
How about the forum, Monica? There's a couple of potential ways this could happen. Staff is now recommending, meetings with individual council members and supervisors. The one before it is addressing, kind of like what Russ and I did, a council as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the workshops and other types of gatherings. What do you have any sense for how?
Yeah, I'm glad to see a range of options being offered, because I think different situations will lend themselves to the right venue, right forum, depending on, how it really looks and how broad an issue is. A workshop is the kind of thing where people really have, they're ready to talk about it. A meeting with the council would be something where we're really introducing new concepts, new ideas, and we want a chance to relay directly what direction we're going in. It's something in the future they're not really, struggling with now. There's so many ways in which water quality issues are becoming more and more locally based in terms of responsibility for meeting non-point source, just in its broadest term. And I think one of my goals as a board member is to have people recognize what an incredible technical resource, the talent, the knowledge, the direct experience that the regional board represents. That's something that isn't really clearly understood, and I recognize we have limits. We don't have extended staff to be available to just participate in every process that's going on in every little town, but certainly those that line up and match with our priority goals, where staff is going to benefit from getting involved early on, their work will become more efficient, more effective later in the process, because we sat down early on and helped people to define the issue with some input from regional board. We ultimately have the authority over where they're going with it. Often we see things coming out of EPA that are, broad and general, and takes a long time before it all gets defined, and there's a lot of information that gets sifted through the process of figuring out what does that mean here? How are we going to apply it here? And I think that when I have had the opportunity to get people connected with specifically with staff who are working on certain issues, and I appreciate Roger's support and always immediate response. If I put a question to him, I try to be very careful in what I bring to him. I know when he sees my email coming up, I'm sure he closes his eyes before he opens them again. But I get very good feedback from folks, and they're so surprised. Wow, I got my answer, and now I'm on my way. So I think our investment will really pay off.
24-hour service,
Well, that's my motto. I'm lucky because I do work on. I'm you know, my everyday work life, I work a lot on these issues, so I hear a lot about it on a regular basis. Another reason why I'm happy to, you know, be part of the effort.
Good.
My suggestion with this would be, you know, I think if we're going to do this, that it just be open to whichever two board members want to do it. No one has to feel that they have to participate in this.
It doesn't even have to be two board members.
No.
It could vary.
It could vary. Yeah, but I think that when we are, I think that the point of this is that, you know, the decision makers, as Russ said, are meeting with those decision makers. And so we're kind of, you know, doing some of our dog and pony show with who we are, what we're all about, what the goals and visions are for this agency, which most of them don't know at all, have no idea, the council. They don't even know who we are.
Oh, yeah.
But then to dovetail that into maybe...
Well, they know who you are if you give them a fine.
Yeah.
They probably forget that after a while. But, you know, they don't come necessarily, John, to our meetings. So we just get their staff, and who knows what their staff tells them when they go back.
Probably not.
But,
good.
You know, I sense that staff knows that there are dischargers that maybe would most benefit from some contact from the board, from a subcommittee of the board. You know, it may not be an issue like what Salinas was dealing with, but there may be some other issues. So it sounds like that it's got to be with no impending action. So I'm sure we have lots of dischargers that fall into that category that maybe we can start to visit. You know, and if we only do two a year, Roger, shouldn't be, you know, that much of a burden.
We've
done every first and third Friday now.
Those days are available now, at least for a year and a half or so.
Doesn't have any obligations on it.
Right. And I was wondering what to do, so it takes care of that quandary.
Yeah. It's not like we haven't done this before. We did this in the past. Remember in went to Carpinteria when they're all shook up about NPDES.
The greenhouses.
Yeah, I mean, we went down there in one meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was settled. I mean, we had 100% participation within weeks.
Yeah, it's something very akin to that.
Yeah, and the bottom line was, it saved us a lot of paperwork in this office.
Yeah.
And the PYs that we're not going to have any longer on
right.
First and third Fridays, you know, yeah. We're going to take care of those pretty easy.
See, I see this as it does two things. It's the general outreach that we do I think the board could get involved with doing, which is just who we are, what we stand for, how you relate to that as an agency with responsibilities under the water code. And then the other prong of this is trying to maybe address some challenging issues in maybe, the stormwater permits, I guess, are pretty ubiquitous, right? They're going to be. And that might be the thing that we focus on to some degree, because that's where we see improvement, you know, with urban water quality. And I think that we need to tell these, you know, dischargers how important these permits are, that they're just not BMPs to do half-heartedly, but for maybe these elected officials to start to pay more attention to, because there's real benefit to be gained, you know, if they get on board with it and understand it more. That's kind of how I see that playing out, you know. You know, the county of Santa Barbara could use this.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not so much the city. I think here we would be preaching to the choir, you know, but the county seems to have some members on it. Board of Supervisors that probably could use a little bit of a dog and pony show, and you know, they're struggling with their stormwater permit.
Mm-hmm.
I'd see a benefit there. Maybe there's other entities that staff knows of that would fit into that category.
Yeah, I was going to point out that you were just referring to dischargers, but you know, as we've talked about land use, even though land use control was getting a bad rap in our last item, but That's really what we're talking about with stormwater management, is how the land is used, and that's why we have sustainable land management up here. And along those lines, when I say we're not necessarily just talking about dischargers, I guess with, as you say, with counties, with the stormwater plans being so ubiquitous, you could classify every county as a discharger. But what I was thinking is, if you look more at, for example, the issue of groundwater protection in Scotts Valley, it might be valuable to have a session that's not just with the county. Of course, there, much of Scotts Valley is an incorporated area, so you've got the city, and then you've got the Scotts Valley Water District. And maybe it would make sense to try to get all those players together to talk about what can be done to make headway in terms of protection of groundwater and protection of recharge for the Scotts Valley aquifer, just as an example, mm-hmm. as opposed to focusing on a discharger.
I use that term kind of broadly.
Yeah,
but
Roger, there's an existing Santa Margarita Aquifer Committee which encompasses most everybody. It just doesn't include the sewage people.
Uh-huh.
It's all the water folks. So it would be easy to expand that into what you're talking about.
Right. Okay.
So you'd like to participate, Dave, on that particular one? Okay. Well, perhaps staff could come up with a list of these types of audiences.
Sure.
Not characterizing them as dischargers or whatever, but...
Well, we just came up with one.
Yeah, an audience. And we could start, you know, with each one, maybe we do use a different approach.
Right.
You know, in terms of hitting the entire elected body or peeling off a few elected representatives and their key staff to meet with. Yeah. So, Lisa, do you guys have a short and a long list?
Sure, come up with
one. No one's coming to mind, right?
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I think Roger raises a great topic, though. We're sort of skirting the issue of land use.
Yeah.
On a lot of different fronts with respect to recharge area protection, with respect to riparian protection.
You should probably speak in the microphone.
That's your reward, John, for saying anything.
John Robertson, Regional Board staff.
Did you take the oath?
who administers that?
I do.
Supreme Court. Mr. Briggs, made me lose my train of thought. Mr. Briggs made a reference to land use and using the example of Scotts Valley, but a lot of the issues that are topical to the vision, riparian area protection, recharge area protection, they verge on land use, and it begs the discussion with land use planners at the city level or at the county level, and then the decision makers above the land use planners too. And I think therein lies the non-agendized discussions that need to take place. So, I don't have a list of exactly what those are, but those are the topics.
Maybe that's good that you guys immediately don't have a list, because to me, I was going to say, let's focus on hot spots. You know, and I did consider Salinas to be a hot spot. You know, from what we've been dealing with as a board, that entity just needed some attention. Now, I don't know that it's going to make that much difference with them. You know, that remains to be seen. But if there aren't any other audiences like that, then I guess we can move to more of a generalized dog and pony show, you know, of who we are and how we interface with some big challenges you have in your area, be it groundwater, you know, protection or implementation of stormwater permits and things of that nature, you know.
I just need to interrupt for a second. Mr. Hayashi has to leave very soon, and you have one more item that requires all the board members to consider.
Okay.
So you may want to take a short break.
Okay.
We can just break to that for a minute.
All
Lisa's got a list already.
Yeah. Okay. Which item is it?
It's the calendar.
The calendar.
Oh,